You're listening to Midlife Side Quest, the Over the Hill Gaming Podcast. Here's your host, John Wall.
It's April 11th, 2024, and welcome to another episode of Midlife Side Quest, the Over the Hill Video Game Podcast. My name is John Wall, and every Thursday morning I bring you the latest video game impressions, industry news, and tales of a Gen X geek, delivered to you in just 15 minutes, the perfect way to start your Thursday. And to ensure you never miss an episode, you can subscribe to the show on all major platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. And it would be wonderful if you left a review while you're there to help spread the word about the show. Also, look for Midlife Side Quest on Threads if you'd like to hang out after the show. I'm happy you've tuned in today because on this episode, I'm going to be talking about House Flipper 2. But first, I'm sending out this week's positive vibes to Shannon Loftus. Shannon is a games industry veteran, having worked at Microsoft for years and moving up the corporate ladder to the position of Vice President of Xbox Game Studios before leaving the company in 2022. She was also one of the first people that I followed when I left Twitter behind and flew to the greener pastures of Threads. And in that time, I've had the pleasure of chatting with her a few times, or threading, whatever the heck we call it, interacting with her. And she is just a super down-to-earth, fun, entertaining person to follow. So you should do that too. So positive vibes are headed your way, Shannon. On last week's episode, I talked a lot about Planet Zoo and how it was a time suck kind of game that had me staying up way, way too late. Well, before that episode was even published to the podcast feeds, another one of those kind of games showed up in my email inbox. House Flipper 2 is the sequel to the 2018 game, which ate up like all of my free time, and after releasing at the end of last year on PC, it's now available on consoles. And I was lucky enough to receive a review copy to check out, and yeah, I think it's happening again. If you played the first game, you know what to expect out of this sequel. It's mostly the same kind of tasks that you were doing before, only now they've streamlined a lot of them to work faster and added more options to better be able to customize your homes just the way you want. Like in the original game, the early stages of the game aren't terribly exciting or rewarding. They teach you all of the mechanics slowly over numerous jobs. So in the beginning, you'll be doing a lot of picking up garbage, scrubbing floors, washing windows, and selling old broken down furniture. The first half dozen jobs could have come out of a game called Cleaning Service Simulator. It's not, you know, terrible, but if I wanted the experience of picking up trash after someone else, I could easily just go into one of my kids' bedrooms. If you stick with it, though, and clean enough homes, you'll eventually get to the good stuff like knocking down walls. It's there that the game truly starts to shine, and you can put your own creative mark on your work. After you finish enough of these work-for-hire jobs, they'll open up the catalog of homes available for purchase. You still need to do a good amount of those cleanup jobs to have enough cash on hand to buy your own home, but once you do that, the game really opens up. Once I bought my own home, I usually like to just gut the whole thing. Clean it, sell anything left inside, knock down every interior wall, and then come up with a new floor plan myself from scratch. It's kind of scratching that same itch that made building houses in The Sims so satisfying. Doing whole houses is much more rewarding than the odd jobs, But it's also a lot more work doing even a small one or two bedroom home in its entirety can take hours and hours from start to finish. The little beachside vacation home that I bought, for example, I spent pretty much all of my video game time this last weekend working on that one house. It's also the reason that I haven't finished Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. Like I said, all of that so far, though, is pretty similar to the first game. They've made things like painting and laying down tiles quicker and easier, and you can customize all of the items in the game to a much greater degree. But it's not radically new if you've played that game before. The one area that really does branch out into new territory is the sandbox mode. And here, instead of being restricted to redesigning within the framework of an already existing home and a budget, you can build a home completely from scratch with nothing but an empty lot. And this mode really lets you just kind of do whatever you want to do. Do you want to recreate your childhood home? Go for it. Do you want to make the Winslow family home from the beloved 90s sitcom Family Matters? Awesome. You can totally do that. I've dabbled a bit in the sandbox mode, and I think it is super cool. I also think I'm going to need a bit more practice in the other modes before I feel ready to take on a huge project like that. It's just more complicated. I'll eventually get there, but it's a little intimidating at the moment for me. I think House Flipper 2 so far seems like a really good refinement of the formula that made the first game so addicting. They've tweaked the gameplay and added plenty of quality of life features to make it flow better and put in some new stuff so that those of us who poured hundreds of hours into the last game will have new things to do. Developer Frozen District has created something that I think will appeal both to fans of the first game and chronic HGTV watchers who might be jumping in for the first time. The other day I was home with my youngest, who was sick with strep throat, and while I'm taking care of her, someone with a clipboard approaches the house and asks about inspecting our roof for storm damage and that kind of thing. You know the guys. I explained to him that I wasn't interested. I got a sick kid that I'm trying to take care of. But he was persistent and said, you know, that I didn't have to come out and he could just look at it by himself. So to get rid of him, I said, fine, if you want to take a look and just leave something in my door, I'll check it out later. So he did, and he left it, and he was gone. The next day, I was on my couch playing a game in my PJs, and I saw him walking up the driveway. So I did what any mature, middle-aged adult in their own home would do. I hid in the hallway until he left. I'm not proud of that, but, you know, I'm an introvert. Don't judge me. I don't like talking to people in general, and I sure don't like it when they show up at my house unannounced. So, I hid until he was gone. Then the next day, he showed up again. Who does this? If I want to hire you, I'll call you. You left me your information. I've got everything I need. I was a prisoner in my own home, but I couldn't hide forever. Eventually, he was going to catch me coming or going, and I'd have to deal with him like a normal human. But then the next day, he didn't come. So I thought, okay, that's fine. The nightmare was over. But I was wrong. He appeared at my door the day after. But I was like, where did he come from? I didn't see him walk up the driveway. It turns out that this SOB parked along the side of my house and snuck around the yard up to the front door. Okay, pal. So this is how you want to play. So I hit again. I hid again. I'm hiding from a man every time he comes to my door. Eventually he left again after leaving a, you know, passive aggressive note saying that we needed to call him. We needed to call him, implying that he would continue to show up until we did. And now I had to start figuring out what to do. I needed a plan. I also needed to pick up my kid from school. So I hopped in the car and I'm driving away. And who do I see around the corner lurking in his parked car? Yeah. He was camping outside of my house. Now it was getting weird. Now this guy was freaking me out. So I played the only card that I had. I tattled. Yeah, I called his boss and totally told on him and said, please leave us alone and please leave me in peace with my video games and my baby Yoda pajama pants. I haven't seen him since. So last week for Polling at Threads, we kicked off our voting for the Game Developer Mount Rushmore, where we're choosing the four most iconic game creators of all time. And in the first week of voting, you chose Hironobu Sakaguchi, legendary designer and director of the Final Fantasy series. This week, your choices are only going to get tougher. You ready for this? Okay, you've got to choose between Shigeru Miyamoto, creator of Mario, Zelda, many other classic Nintendo characters, Tim Schafer, creator of the classics like Grim Fandango, Monkey Island 2, and Psychonauts, Will Wright of The Sims and SimCity fame, and last but not least, Yu Suzuki, creator of countless Sega hits like OutRun, Hang On, Afterburner, Virtua Fighter, and of course, Shenmue. So go visit Midlife SideQuest on Threads after the show to cast your vote. You've got 24 hours, and I will share the results on next week's episode. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Midlife SideQuest. I appreciate you making time in your day for me. You can catch a new episode of the show every Thursday morning wherever you listen to podcasts. And don't forget to subscribe and leave a review while you're there. Until next week, be well and happy gaming.